Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're going to get going some more into prophecy. All of God's word is prophetic. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word and certain instances in scripture to show us this relationship that you develop through prophecy. It is your intent to encourage your church and also the individuals in the church. And I pray that we understand more clearly today this idea that you can specifically speak to each of us in prophetic ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So, prophecy, one of the functions is to encourage. We read about this yesterday. It is to encourage. It is to lift up. It is to bless. It is to, restore. This happened when Nathan confronted David. The purpose was to restore David. David was already familiar with prophecy. He was positioned as king. And what is distinct for me, and sometimes I feel like not that real prophetic word is missing in people's lives, is what I would say is a misunderstanding of it, but then also a hardness to what God is already telling us to do. So let's look over here in 2 Samuel. Not 2 Samuel. We're in 1 Samuel 3. Samuel is an apprentice of Eli. Well, Eli is a wicked guy. And he is ministering over Israel at the time that Samuel shows up as a child. His mom is Hannah. Samuel's mom is Hannah. Hannah even received a word from Eli that, or an encouragement from Eli that God would give her a son after a lot of pain. So Samuel, while he's there one night, he's sleeping and the Lord wakes him up. Well, the thing about Samuel, in contrast to Eli, is that he's seeking. And you'll notice that Eli is not. So let's read chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. I strongly believe that we get the leaders we deserve. And I believe the climate here was despondent, uninterested over it. I mean, are these words familiar in our culture? We're over it. We're past it. Done with that. This was the climate that Eli was priest over. There were not many visions. I tend to think, that maybe some the reason why we're not receiving prophetic word over our lives is that we haven't obeyed the first thing. But also, if God did speak into our lives, would we do anything about it? I think it would be better for him not to speak into our lives than for him to speak into our lives and we not respond. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak they couldn't fairly see, was lying down in his usual place. This is a man of habit. This is a man of comforts. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Uninterested. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Uninterested. It takes three times for this guy to get it. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Same thing. Same response. "I will respond." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. How did a priest not know this was going on? There's something distinct. There's a distinction about God speaking. And if we're too flatlined to perceive it, it could be that there's sin in our life and we're not able to receive it. And this is what we find with Eli. He had heard God's word before the Lord was not speaking very much. Here's how I know that he spoke through him before. We'll keep reading here. Yeah. So Samuel's responding. Sorry, man, I'm losing it today. Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord, for this, your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. I'm about to wake people up. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end." So obviously, this had already been mentioned. "For I told him that I would judge his family forever." Still deadpan. Still reclined. Still comfortable. Still doing the same old thing. And before we point fingers at Eli, I'm wondering if this time of quarantine has done anything to change us. I'm really thinking about that for myself. I know in the area of fear, you know, there were a couple of nights, you know, where I would just be angsty about all of this. But as I realized that this would end when God wanted it to end, and that he had it in his hand, and that I could still minister even in isolation, and I could step out even when there was no place to step out to. You know, for me, I feel like, you know, maybe there were some areas that could have used more work, but I feel like quarantine wasn't wasted necessarily. But I'm wondering, and, you know, no fingers, I'm wondering if quarantine was used to grow you as well. That'd be a great, it would be a great testimony if you commented under this. In quarantine, God did this. Despite isolation, God did this. That'd be fantastic. Isolation and not speaking through Eli and even telling Eli he was going to be judged didn't do nothing for this guy. Nothing. I told him I would judge his family forever because of sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel laid down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" What was it he said to you? I mean, God is like the thing on Sunday. Eli asked, "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely. If you hide from me anything, spill it, boy. Anything he told you." So Samuel told them everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "Now get this. How deadpan do you have to be to say something like this? He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." How dead inside do you have to be to say, "Yeah, God's going to judge me and kill my whole family. There's no possible for redemption. Okay, he's God." Get on your knees. Same thing happened with Nathan. Nathan goes up to David and says, "You're the guy. You're the guy who killed Uriah and slept with his wife. God doesn't like it. God, you know, he would have given you anything. Why did you do that?" What did David said? "I've sinned. I've sinned." Not, "He's God. Let him do what he wants." See, when it comes to prophetic word in our life, we you know, maybe we're craving for it. You know, maybe during this quarantine time, we're like, "If God would just tell me something about this situation." We got to, A, get the sin out of our life, because we don't want to be like Eli, where God does show up and say something, and we're like, It'd be better for God not to say anything. I mean, I think it was merciful that God was not moving in that time. If Eli is at all reflective of the people that were under him or the people that he was ministering to, it'd be better for God not to say anything. So the first thing that's required for prophetic word is response. Response. Now, before you think I'm kind of some kind of saint for making something with quarantine, I will tell you that God prophesied into my life. And my response was, "Okay, God will do what he wants." And I thought I was holy for doing it. Oh, God is God. That is not why God speaks into your life. God speaks into your life for change. When he spoke into Jonah's life, he was like, "Hey, Nineveh, you, Nineveh, preach." He was like, "Nope." He went the other way. There was an action that needed to take place. When God sent an angel to tell Mary that she was going to bear a son, she was a nobody. A nobody. Nobody knew who she was. She responded to God. Let's read a little bit of that. "My soul praises the Lord." It wasn't, "Oh, God is God. Back to sleep." "My soul praises the Lord. My heart rejoices in God, my Savior, because he has shown his concern for his humble servant. From now on, all people will say I'm blessed, because the powerful one has done great things for me. His name is holy." She took that prophetic word and she rocked it. It was going to mean something in her life. Now, back to sleep. It's not holy just to say God is God It is holy to respond with praise, to respond with action, to respond even with encouragement. A person who just says God is God is not running any kind of race. A person who's running race needs that bottle of water. A person who's running the race needs that person on the sideline speaking them on. A person in a race needs that flag overhead. You are almost done. I will do this when you finish. A person who's not even awake or running says things like, God is God. These prophetic words are to equip the saints who are running the race. So if you're not getting prophetic words, it could be that you're not running. It could be that you're steep in sin. It could be that you're flatlined. And you can turn it around. You can turn it around right now. And whatever area it is, oh God, just wake me up. Help me to get off this back foot. And believe me, I was queen of back feet. Queen, stuck in the mud. So, I mean, you have a listening ear here. But we can turn whatever it is he's speaking into our lives into action, into praise, into encouraging others. Yeah. Peace out.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.